You're listening to SBS News.
United Nations climate talks in Scotland have ended with a global agreement that aims at least to keep alive hopes of capping global warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius, maintaining some chance of saving the world from catastrophic effects of climate change. Conference Chairman Alok Sharma was visibly emotional before banging down his gavel to signal there were no vetoes from the almost 200 national delegations present in Glasgow. The negotiators present range from coal and gas-fueled superpowers to oil producers and Pacific Islands being swallowed by the rise in sea levels. The two-week conference extended into an extra day of negotiations. The COP26 conference was the 26th of its kind, but the first to call for a reduction in fossil fuels. US climate spokesman John Kerry says negotiators were brave to make the deal and sign the pact.
We know the old adage of negotiation, you can't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And this is good. This is a powerful statement. We are going to ratify this, accept this text, so that we can, in fact, guarantee to our children, our grandchildren, to the next generations that we did our job.
But there was last-minute drama as India raised last-second objections to the phasing-out coal part of the agreement. India's Environment and Climate Minister Bhupendra Yadav called for a change to the wording of the draft, requesting the text be changed to phase-down instead of phase-out. Mr. Yadav says India is a very coal-dependent state.
Developing countries have a right to their fair share of the global carbon budget and are entitled to the responsible use of fossil fuels within this scope. In such a situation, how can anyone expect that developing countries can make promises about phasing out coal and fossil fuel subsidies? Developing countries have still to deal with their development agendas and poverty eradication.
The clause was hurriedly amended to accelerating efforts to phase down unabated coal power and phase out inefficient fossil fuel subsidies. The change was met with dismay by the rich economies of the European Union and Switzerland, as well as the Marshall Islands, one of the small Pacific Island states whose existence is under threat from rising sea levels. But all said they would let it stand for the sake of an overall agreement. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the world must go into emergency mode on climate change as the agreement does not go far enough. However, Mr. Guterres also acknowledges it establishes important building blocks for progress.
The outcome of COP26 is a compromise. It reflects the interests, the contradictions, and the state of political will in the world today. We must accelerate climate action to keep alive the goal of limiting global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees. I want to send a message to young people, indigenous communities, women leaders, all those leading on climate action. I know you are disappointed, but the path of progress is not always a straight line.
COP26 President Mr. Sharma had the tough task of balancing the demands of climate-vulnerable nations, big industrial powers, and those like India and China, whose consumption or exports of fossil fuels are vital to their economic development. His voice broke with emotion after he heard vulnerable nations express their anger over the last-minute changes.
May I just say to all delegates, I apologise for the way this process has unfolded, I'm deeply sorry. I also understand the deep disappointment. But I think, as you have noted, it's also vital that we protect this package.
Thank you. Thank you, friends. We need to proceed. Thank you very much.
The agreement, in effect, acknowledged that commitments made so far to cut emissions of planet-heating greenhouse gases are nowhere near enough and asked nations to set tougher climate pledges next year rather than every 5 years. A UN committee will report next year on progress towards delivering the 136 $1 billion per year in overall annual climate funding that rich nations had promised by 2020 but failed to deliver. And governments will be summoned to meet in 2022, 2024 and 2026 to discuss climate finance. Greenpeace International Executive Director Jennifer Morgan says although the glass is half full, the era of coal is ending.
On the whole, I think that this it's a meek, weak outcome that doesn't meet the moment of the climate emergency. It keeps the 1.5 degree goal, you know, barely alive. And I don't think that the youth activists and the indigenous peoples are going to tolerate another COP like this. It doesn't meet their moment. It won't help them sleep at night. And I expect better from leaders around the world.
For more reaction, here's Tina Stage from the Marshall Islands, followed by the Gabonese Environment Minister Lee White.
We cannot afford to give up on the promise that this package offers us. And others have referred to their grandchildren. I'll refer to my children. At the end of the COP in Madrid, I had to go back home and say to my children that I'm afraid we did not deliver. And I cannot afford to do that again.
We cannot go home to Africa without a reliable package. I need some more reassurance from our developed country partners before boarding the electric train leaving the Glasgow COP.
Australia did not object to the original text in the draft around coal or fossil fuel subsidies. A Channel 7 reporter followed the Australian ambassador through the COP26 corridors seeking comment, but the ambassador refused to speak to media. Climate Council advisor Simon Bradshaw told SBS News that Australia's position coming to Glasgow was always utterly untenable, and we were just about the only developed country coming here without a stronger target for 2030. We've basically been told to get packed and come back next year with a much stronger one. This is about as defiant language as you'll see in a UN decision, so it's absolutely clear now what Australia has to do. Sarah Shalala, SBS News.